Continuing discussion of name 889 of Vishnu Sahasranam, Ananta Huta Bhug Bhugta, with special reference in this section of this series of talks on the name Ananta, very well known, which means no end. Again, reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the section where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami to demonstrate the unlimitedness, the anantatvam of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami about an anecdote that once when Krishna was ruling Dwaraka, Lord Brahma came to see him. And the doorman immediately informed Lord Krishna of Brahma's arrival. I'm basically going to be reading Srila Prabhupada's translation here with a few interspersed comments. When Krishna was so informed, he immediately asked the doorman, "Which Brahma? What is his name?" The doorman therefore returned and questioned Lord Brahma. When the doorman asked, "Which Brahma?" Lord Brahma was surprised. He told the doorman, "Please go and inform Lord Krishna that I am the four-headed Brahma who is the father of the four Kumaras. You know me, right? You remember me? How can you forget me? I'm Brahma. Come on, there's only one Brahma." This is the thought of Lord Brahma. How can you say which Brahma? There's no other Brahma, he was thinking. So the doorman then informed Lord Krishna of Lord Brahma's description, and Lord Krishna gave him permission to enter. The doorman escorted Lord Brahma in, and as soon as Brahma saw Lord Krishna, he offered obeisances at his lotus feet. After being worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna also honored him with suitable words. Then Lord Krishna asked him, very politely, "Why have you come here?" Being questioned, Lord Brahma immediately replied, "Later I shall tell you why I have come. First of all, there is a doubt in my mind which I wish you would kindly dissipate. Why did you inquire which Brahma had come to see you? What is the purpose of such an inquiry? Is there any other Brahma besides me within this universe?" The answer is obviously no. However, upon hearing this, Sri Krishna smiled and immediately meditated. Unlimited Brahmas arrived instantly. These Brahmas had different numbers of heads. Some had 10 heads, some 20, some 100, some 1,000, some 10,000, some 100,000, some 10 million, and others 100 million. No one can count the number of faces they had. So we see even the number of faces of various Lord Brahmas can, from our perception, appear to be ananta, endless. Who's going to sit around and count 100 million heads? There also arrived many Lord Shivas with various heads numbering 100,000 and 10 million. Many Indras also arrived, and they had hundreds and thousands of eyes all over their bodies. When the four-headed Brahma of this universe saw all these opulences of Krishna, he became very much bewildered and considered himself a rabbit among many elephants. All the Brahmas who came to see Krishna offered their respects at his lotus feet. And when they did this, their helmets touched his lotus feet. Now we may wonder, how can you have so many heads of so many Brahmas all touching the lotus feet of Krishna? That is ananta. That's beyond the end, beyond the limit of our puny intelligence linked with our puny brain, in our puny little one head, to understand. Krishna said, your particular universe has a diameter of 4 billion miles. Therefore, it is the smallest of the universes. Consequently, you have only 4 heads. Some of the universes are 1 billion yojanas in diameter. Some 1 trillion. 4 billion. You've got 4 billion. And some of the universes have 10 trillion. And some 100 trillion yojanas. Thus, they are almost unlimited in area. According to the size of the universe, there are so many heads on the body of Brahma. In this way, I, Krishna, maintain innumerable universes. They're all called Brahmanda. Brahmanda, it means an egg-like shape with a Brahma in each of them. No one can measure the length and breadth of the 1/4 of my energy manifested in the material world. Who then can measure the 3/4 that is manifested in the spiritual world? So we're just talking about Krishna's material energy here, and that's beyond our ability to conceive of. So what to speak of his spiritual energy and his very personality? It's all Ananta. Ananta Shesha. We often hear these two words together. They're put together as the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shesha means, it can mean the finish or what's left over. He who remains Shishyate after the dissolution. When this material cosmos is destroyed, Shesha remains. Sometimes, although Ananta Shesha, we often think of the two together, and the two are very commonly put together, it's commonly as a name, Ananta Shesha. But sometimes they appear to be listed as separate incarnations or separate manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have in Madhya Lila chapter 20, text 370. Again, we're talking about the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. The verse goes, Vaikunthe Shesha Dhara Dharaye Ananta E Mukhya Veshavata Vistare Nahi Anta. Lord Shesha in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, and in the material world, Lord Ananta, who carries innumerable planets on his hoods, are two primary empowered incarnations. There is no need to count the others, for they are unlimited. Two primary incarnations. Here is mentioned that Shesha is in Vaikuntha. Shesha is in Vaikuntha. And holding up the earth, in other words, in this material world, or the planets in general. Dhara means the earth, or it can mean any planet. So holding that up, that means in this material world, is Ananta. So this verse describes Shesha in Vaikuntha as an avatar, which that in itself seems to be a non-standard usage. And also here and throughout this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ananta and Shesha are listed as two separate manifestations. Reading from teachings of Lord Chaitanya in this section, which parallels this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, examples of direct or sakshad avatars are the Shesha incarnation and the Ananta incarnation. In Ananta, the power for sustaining all planets is invested, and in the Shesha incarnation, the power for serving the Supreme Lord is invested. We also have in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 5, directly empowered incarnations are the Kumaras, Narad, Prithu, Shesha, Ananta, etc. For example, in Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 40, Text 31, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, even the Lord himself in his incarnation as Ananta or Shesha cannot describe his own glories. In Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 21, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Shesha or Ananta. So what is the correct understanding? In the Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan, a work by Haridas Das, a Gaudiya Vaishnava, not in the line of Bhaktivinoda or Bhaktisiddhanta, but who is often quoted it's a Bengali work, and he's often quoted by stalwarts of the line of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. For instance, Bhakti Ballabh Tirtha Maharaj, among others, has quoted him. So we quote him as and when applicable. So under Shesh, in Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan, Abhidhan means dictionary, it's an encyclopedic dictionary. So the first synonym given for Shesha is Anantadev, with reference to Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Text 13. In the summary to this chapter, in Srila Prabhupada's edition of Bhagavatam, he explains that Lord Ananta is also known as Sankarshan. What is going on is that Lord Sankarshan expands into many different forms to accomplish different tasks. As Sheshanag in the Vaikuntha world, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Text 246. Sheshanag in the Vaikuntha world, empowered for the personal service of the Supreme Lord, Svasevana Shakti. And then Anantadev, empowered to bear all the planets within the universe. So again, we have Vaikunthe Shesha Dhara Dharaya Ananta E Mukhya Veshavata Vishtare Nahyanta. Srila Jiva Goswami, this is from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 10 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha has described Sheshanaga as follows. Sri Anantadev has thousands of faces and is fully independent, always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He waits upon him constantly. Sankarshan is the first expansion of Vasudev, and because he appears by his own will, he is called Swarat, fully independent. He is therefore infinite and transcendental to all limits of time and space. That means Ananta. He himself appears as this thousand-headed Shesha. Lord Sankarshan, who is always very eager to serve, continuing reading from Srila Prabhupada, takes on different forms to accomplish different varieties of service to the Lord. He accepts the serpentine form and serves as a couch. Now, this is said to be happening in Vaikuntha, but from the last quoted verse, it's clear that this also goes on in the Vaikuntha atmosphere that exists within this universe, or all the material universes, wherever the Lord resides. He takes the form of Ananta, who is also described as serpent-like, personifying the Adhara Shakti, the supportive energy, gravitation, that's sometimes called gravity. He is also described as Ananta Dev in the Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, where he is depicted as having a human form in some verses, or serpent-like in other verses. Quite a topic. Ananta and Shesha are the same person. They're often same manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes named differently, sometimes manifest differently. and sometimes named as the same person. We find in Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Sect 6, that Ananda sometimes gets so angry that he feels like torturing the whole universe. He gets so angry seeing all the people inimical to Krishna. He has unlimited anger, but is not unchecked. And the anger for destroying the universe, he invests much of that in Lord Shiva also. The Mandukya Upanishad states, Akshama Satya Srishto Hi Maya Srishting Vitanvate Ananta Achintya Vibhava Katang Tang Ihate Harihi. This is from Madhvacharya's commentary on Mandukya Upanishad. He's discussing the Lord as Ananta to make the point that he's Ananta, he's infinite with unimaginable power and abilities. So Madhvacharya is making the point, which he makes again and again and again and again. Why should he create something which is false? Yeah, Madhvacharya is making the point that there's nothing false within the Lord's creation. Our perception of it may be false, but the material world is not false. Again, in Madhvacharya's Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnay, he states why the Supreme Lord is called Ananta. Ananta Deshata Kalata Gunatascha Ya Ananta Shakti Bhagavan Ananto Mahad Anutvadyanmanantam Ahu. He has Ananta Shakti, unlimited power. And then unlimited great qualities. He's infinite in space and in time. None can measure these fully. So he's properly called Ananta. Then again, in Madhva's commentary on Vedanta Sutra 3.2.27, Ong Ata Anantena tata hi lingam. By his, which Madhvacharya unpacks to mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, gives his darshan to his devotees, though he is, by his nature, not visible. We can't see him by our own material eyes, or even by spiritual eyes, but he allows himself to be seen. Madhvacharya, again, commenting on Vedanta Sutras, this one, 1.4.25 only. Om Abhidyopadeshaccha. So in his commentary, Madhvacharya says that there are various words such as Mahamaya, Avidya, Niyati, Mohini, Prakriti, Vasana. These all denote the desire of Ananta. In his Gita Tatparya, and on and on and on, again and again, Madhvacharya made the same point. And then in various writings of his, in his profuse writings, Ananta is Shesha. He knows about everything which is beyond our limits. He's not within the limits, therefore he's Ananta. For him, nothing is Ananta. There's no limit for him. When we say Ananta, that's from the perspective of us. But for him, nothing is beyond his reach. His qualities are ananta. Now you may say, well, he doesn't fully know his own qualities. Okay. Both things are true. There's nothing beyond him. And yet even to know his own qualities, it's already discussed, he's also always trying to catch up with his own qualities. He's aware of his own qualities. He also likes his own qualities. He has infinite auspicious attributes. Vishnu is called Ananta because he's never destroyed. Ananta, there's no end to him. He doesn't come to an end. It's not like anything in material existence. Our bodies, they come to an end. His personality, nothing comes to an end. There are different kinds of destruction mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but he's beyond all of them. There's the there are different kinds, that's described in Bhagavatam. There's destruction is going on at every moment because at every second everything is changing. So anything, at one moment, the next moment, the same thing is not exactly the same as the other. So it's always being destroyed in that way. We have destruction of entities within material existence, bodies, human bodies, animal bodies. Everything that comes into being is destroyed. All things must pass. Even great mountains are destroyed. So everything in this world is subject to destruction. The whole universe is subject to destruction. The ultimate and best destruction is destruction of material existence, by which we come out of material existence altogether. But none of these pertain to Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The jiva, for that matter, cannot be destroyed. So in that sense, the jiva is also ananta. Here's a quote from Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, in which Krishna says to Radha, "Oh, you've become kupita," meaning that kupita, the normal meaning is when you say in relation to a female, means she is angry. But Radha took that to mean, ku means the earth and pita means father. It is you who are the father of the earth, not me. And you are the mother of all the universes. You are the actual mother of the universes. You are omniscient. No one is your equal. O Devi, goddess, your skill in joking lovers' quarrels is ananta, unlimited. So here Krishna is calling Radha ananta by her qualities in joking quarrels. Ananta. Nan means bowing down, ta means the state of being, and art means without. It is you who possess the quality of ananta, refusing to bow down. So there's another meaning given by Radha through the pen of Harihara, who wrote this verse, included in Padavali, that one who doesn't bow down, who is not obliged to bow down before anyone. Having heard this, Harihara explains, Lord Krishna smiled and bowed down before the beautiful gopi Radha. May he grant auspiciousness to you all, Harihara says. So, Krishna, to defeat Radha, saying that it's a lover's joking quarrel. So to show that her statement that he is ananta, that he doesn't bow down, is false, he bowed down to her. And in this way, he was defeated by her. One way or the other, he was defeated by her. Let's go on to Hutabuk. The meaning of Hutabuk. This is already brought up just six names ago. Shankara, in discussion of when we had Hutabuk Vibhu, Shankara at that point took Hutabuk as a separate name. So I already discussed this. It means to protect, to eat, to consume the sacrifice. Shankara, in this instance of the name, he takes it to mean slightly different. Hutam bhunakti iti hutabhuk, who protects the sacrifice. Formerly he gave it as one who consumes the sacrifice. Here he gives it as one who protects the sacrifice. A sub-commentator on Shankara, Radha Krishna Shastri, says that this protection refers to seeing that the sacrifice is completed by his blessing, even when there may be some deficiencies in the performance of the sacrifice. And of course, protecting the sacrifice very famously, Lord Rama did that when Vishvamitra, the first outing of Lord Rama from Ayodhya as a young boy with Lakshman, Rama protected the sacrifice being performed by Vishvamitra and Vishvamitra's associates, which was being destroyed by Rakshasas and the Rakshasi Tartaka. We also know from Krishna book, Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that Lord Balaram also protected the sacrifice of the sages at Naimisharanya, which was being regularly destroyed by the demon Bilvala. Another meaning we already went through just in the previous verse. Shankara says that Hutabhuk means who consumes the offerings and the sacrifice. Radha Krishna Shastri explains that there are the offerings are made to different devatas. Agni receives it first, and then he passes it on to Surya and goes on to different deities, and they ultimately all the offerings are ultimately brought by all the demigods to Vishnu. So he's the ultimate receiver of all the offerings, as we find in Shukracharya's discussion with Vamanadeva. We find in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam that there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. This means in making sacrifices. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes Skanda Purana in his purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 36. Yasya smritya cha namoktya tapo yagra kriyadyashu nunam sampurnatam eti sadyo vande tamachutam. I offer my obeisances unto him, the infallible, because simply by either remembering him or vibrating his holy name, one can attain the perfection of all penances, sacrifices, or fruitive activities, and this process can be universally followed. Bhokta, let's go on to bhokta. The root for the bhokta is the same as bhuk, to protect or eat. We went through the name bhokta previously, and name 145, and then name 502. Bhunakti iti bhokta, the protector. And bhunte iti bhokta, the enjoyer, the consumer. Satyadeva Vashishta expresses this as rakshako bhakshanascha. Bhagavan protects and he swallows. So he creates, that's not mentioned here, he creates, he protects, and he swallows at the time of destruction. He is the enjoyer of all offerings made by devotees with love. At name 145, Parasha Bhatta quotes Patrang Pushpang Palang Tawayam Yome Bhakta Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upaharitam Ashmanami prayatabhanaha. If one offers me, Krishna says, with love, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. He is the enjoyer of all offerings made in sacrifice. Parashabhata explained at that point that bhokta means, as he quotes from Gita, chapter 5, text 29, bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim richati. Knowing me as the enjoyer of all sacrifice and of all austerities, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, as the friend of every being, the sages, whoever understands this, attains peace. So again, the point of bhokta in relation to sacrifices, we have in Gita again, aham hi sarva yagyanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Natu mam abhijananti tatme natas chivanti te. Vishnu is the enjoyer and master of all the yajnas. He's the bhokta and all the sacrifices. One who fails to understand this falls out. Can't understand the truth of these matters. So all offerings should be made understanding this. If one understands this, he can begin to progress from being a materialist, simply offering to the demigods, and can start his Krishna consciousness, because he is the enjoyer and even the demigods are his servants. Also, similarly, as Prashabhata explains in reference to the name Bhokta, at name 502, Prashabhata says that he is the enjoyer of the offerings made to the Pitris, the forefathers, not only to the gods, Havya, but also to he is the enjoyer of the Kavya. Here, Kavya means the offering to the Pitris, Vivi Ramanujan at that point gives various references to support this. From the Divya Prabandhams, that he is the enjoyer of the food that the devotees offer, and they enjoy him. So it's like a competition. They're both competing with each other to enjoy each other. Obvious example of how the Lord enjoys the offerings of his devotees. Sudama, the indigent brahmana, coming to Dwaraka and offering Krishna some food, which by standards of temple worship is unofferable. It's not up to the standard. It was offered with love, and Krishna snatched it eagerly from Sudama. Then again, he who destroys, it means the protector and the destroyer, inasmuch as he consumes or swallows everything in the form of time. Editing Kala Rupe hi Bhagavan Kala Kramena Sarvam Bhunte. In the course of time, Bhagavan in the form of time consumes everything. Satyadeva Vashishtha, who's pointing this out, links the term Ananta to Bhokta by pointing out that Bhagavan consumes things over time in practically unlimited numbers of forms. Satyadeva Vashishtha mentions various demigods, Agni, Surya, Kala, Yama. Sometimes equated with Yama, but even you see that the frog eats the bug, the snake eats the frog. So this consuming business is going on. Different living beings are consuming other beings, jivo jivasya jivanam. But ultimately that consuming capacity comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kathopanishad, yasya brahmascha kshatram cha ube bhavata odanaha. He for whom Brahma and Kshatra, now you think that means Brahman and Kshatriya, but here it's taken to mean movable and immovable, both become food. Satyadeva Vashishta gives the analogy that the ocean is the source of the rain that results in rivers, and the rivers merge back into the ocean. So also Bhagavan is the origin of everything. He is the support for everything. Bhokta can also mean support, protector. And he is also the end of everything because he consumes everything in the end. So combining ananta protection and consuming, we have in the matter of Krishna swallowing the forest fire. We have in the Bhagavatam, it's stated, Itang swajana vaiklavyam niriksha jagadishvaraha tam agnim apibat tivram ananto nanta shakti drik. This is specifically the name Ananta is given here. He's protecting and he's consuming. Seeing his devotees so disturbed, Sri Krishna, the infinite Lord of the universe and possessor of infinite power, then swallowed the terrible forest fire. Vanta kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakam padiya nipatya kritva chakka kushatam etada hambravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha Parivadatu jano yatha tatha va nanu mukharo navayang vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama Parha pirang natavaravabhu karneyo kanikaram Bibradvasa kanaka kapishang vaijayantin chamalam Randhran venor adarasudhaya purayam gopa vrindayar Vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi Sri Radhaya pranayamahima kidrisho vanayaiva svadyo yen adbhuta madhurima kidrisho vamadiyaha Sokyam chasyamad anubhavata kidrisham veti lobhat tadbhavardya samajani shabchi garva sindho harinduhu Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.